Well, it was a good morning this morning, and it felt good, it felt right, and it was just good. It was good, and there was a joy in the house. I just felt like there was a joy in the house. Maybe that's the right word, a joy in the Lord. And I think when we're walking with the Lord the way we should have a joy in the Lord, and I think we should have that. But tonight I want you to turn into your Bibles, and we're going to be in a couple places, but we're going to start in Matthew chapter 4. A little bit after the temptation, where Satan the temptation of Jesus. But as you can see, I got a couple of banners up here. I've been holding these banners out for quite a while. They were actually banners for our Fort Wayne plant that they had up every Sunday. But I said, if I ever get those in my hands again, I'm going to do a series on these because I just really think they're great verses. I think they're life verses. And I'm going to have a challenge for you tonight, so I hope you pay attention because I will test you next week. And I know how to do it. I've been thinking about how to do it, and I know how to do it. So I was like, how do I do this? And I got it, so I will test you in that. How many of you know that you need Jesus every day? Every day in your life, you know that you need the Lord in your life. I want to let you know there are people out here in the world that do not know that they need the Lord in their life. That they are following whatever the world is telling them. They believe everything the media tells them. They're doing up on whatever their conscience is thinking. And so they're living a life in the darkness. And there are a lot of people living their life in the darkness. And God has saw that a long time ago, that people love to run and live in the darkness. We all have had dark thoughts. But I want to read in chapter 4 in Matthew. I just want to read something here. It's also in Isaiah. But I want to pick it up in verse 16. It says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned. The only way to have the light is through Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the light. He is the light of the world. The gospel is the only. It is the true light. And it says in 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We're living in a time where you can be saved. We're living in a time where a saved person needs to get baptized. We're living in a time where we can have communion. To have a special moment with the Lord and the things that with the drink and the bread, the representation of the blood and the body. We live in a time, it's not that we earned it, it's just given to us and allowed to us by the grace of God to partake in it. And we don't do a lot of these things, or we look at these things and we just kind of walk away. They're not as important anymore. Salvation isn't important anymore. Baptisms aren't quite important anymore. Communion is something that's done ritually. As a tradition, this is what we do. And we don't get excited about someone's salvation because we're so busy about ourselves. There is a verse that I want you to start to... I'm going to challenge you for a while, okay? There's a verse, and I'm going to tell you, and we're going to see how we are, but there is a verse that I want you to memorize, and it's this one right here, James 4:8. Okay? Draw near to God. And he will what? Okay. So next week Now you're going to get a freebie next week because it's going to sit right here. And I'm going to ask you somebody to repeat and to as memorize the scripture. And it's going to be right in front of you, so hopefully you can see this far. And you're going to get a freebie next week. But the week after that is not. Okay? I will have one up here on the PowerPoint for you to remember because you only remember 10% of what you hear. You know, when you do scripture memorization, when you memorize that scripture, it's 100%. Okay? It's 100% because you have it, you have the whole scripture in your mind. The reason I believe that a lot of people we got our salvation, I got mine, and my kids got mine, and I'm not so concerned about the rest of the world. And that's not what Jesus is telling us to do. He says, we have to, once we get the light, the gospel in our life, we have to share that. Matthew chapter 5, it's one of the ones I have memorized a lot. It says, you're the light of the world, city on the hill cannot be hidden. The people light a lamp and put it on the bowl, but instead they put it on the stand and gives light to everyone in the house, right? In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. There's a part that we are supposed to do that, but I want you to turn over to John chapter 3 now. There's a part that we are the light of the world, and we're supposed to share the gospel, okay? The light shines through us now. But because people have told me that they've shared the gospel and they get upset because nobody wants to receive it. Okay? In John chapter 3, there's the famous John 3:16, but let's go down to verse 19. He says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world." Okay, Jesus came into the world, the gospel is here, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men will run to darkness when light comes in. This is why when you see, you'll see, now the Will Graham celebration, which is a Billy Graham, part of the Billy Graham administration, evangelism thing, is coming to the Coliseum. And it's not taking off here in Huntington as well as they wanted it to. I've tried to talk to a few people, and the pastors are just not interested in it for some reason. I've talked to all of them, but a lot of pastors are not interested in what's going on with this event. But I want to tell you, a lot of people have been praying over Fort Wayne for many years. There's something that I've watched. I noticed that there's a big billboard downtown and in the Expo Center, the Coliseum. There's a piece here with, I think, Pastor Ray Harris and one of the black pastors and one of the other churches. They're doing a big thing, some type of revival event or something there at the Coliseum. David Jeremiah is also coming to the Coliseum. But also, on October 6th, 7th, and 8th, Will Graham, Franklin grandson, Billy Graham's grandson, is also coming to the Coliseum. People have been praying for, and then there was that great revival thing. I forget what it was called a couple years ago. And so I've been going to some of the training, and some of the churches are really full with this. They're very excited. A lot of pastors, Assembly of God, non-denominational churches, a lot of Baptist churches, a lot of Nazarene, Methodist, they're all coming together and letting this this piece here. And the thing is, it's all about salvation and rededication. Do we expect everyone to come? No. Because people live in the darkness and they would rather run in and they would rather run to the dark because their deeds are evil. And when the light shines, we should know better because when we have received that light, that gospel, we should know better. Because here's what I'm trying to get to you, peace. This is what I'm trying to get to you tonight. Listen. If you want to help people and you pray that people will draw to God, you need to do it first. You need to be drawing to God first. If you're praying for people to come to Christ, you need to be there first. Amen. If you think that their life needs to get right before God, your life needs to be right first. So I'm going to tell you, this journey is going to be a little tough because when the closer you get to God, sometimes it gets a little uncomfortable. Because there's some things in our life that we know that we shouldn't probably do that God's going to convict us on. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to us about it. And there are some things also that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you about. If God's called you to something, when you draw closer to God, that calling's going to become more evident in your life. And you're going to have a tendency in the flesh to turn and want to run. And God's going to test you. When you want to draw to God, sometimes there's a testing in the process. How bad you want it. Your faith, you know, that first chapter in James teaches us a lot of that, perseverance. Go through those times of faith testing. But I want to tell you, if you pray, "Oh God, I want to draw to you. I want to draw to you." Well, I look at this scripture as a promise. If we draw near to God, the promise is that He's going to draw near to us. And the thing is, I don't think all of us will want that, be honest. Because when we do draw near to God, that means God's going to draw near to us. And there's a lot, I believe, that God has to say. Because I believe when we start drawing near to God, we speak less and we listen more. Our prayers become not all about us. It becomes about others. And not just family members. I'm talking about lost people. And it says, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Okay? Fort Wayne is having a problem right now, and they're having some meetings in the downtown area because the strip joints, they want to have them stop dancing by midnight and doing all that stuff by midnight. They said they'll still sell liquor and all that, but they want all that activity to stop at midnight. So the other day, this last week, all the owners of the strip joints all came together and they went down and they had a meeting. And now they're wrestling with it. You notice those places don't do very good in the daytime? They want to be open in the deep, dark hours of the night. For everyone practicing hates the light and wants to do evil because their deeds will be exposed. This is why we find people even in the church today that we don't see them coming back, because the word is we know where they are. We know what the lifestyle that they're living, and it's hard to come in to the church as a believer knowing your life isn't right with God. But it says he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. We need to make sure that we know the things that we do, it's okay if God sees it. Because I'm telling you, when we draw close to God, it's going to be revealed. It's already revealed. But God will put it into your face. As you draw closer to him, I'm telling you, things are going to fall off. Things are going to be put together. And do not expect that if you ask to draw closer to God, do not expect your life to be the same. When you continue to pray, Lord, draw me to yourself. Draw to me. Let me draw to you. I'm telling you, when you do that, there's a peace that you will want to share what you have with other people. But we cannot do that in this community without us first coming and drawing closer to God. Because we all need to draw closer to the Lord. I know I do. And I hope that you would admit that you do. That we need to draw closer to the Lord. That salvation experience was a great experience. And it's everlasting. But that cannot be my last testimony. I have to have a new testimony. Not that it overshadows my salvation. That is a great gift. No, that's its own. Salvation is its own testimony. But I need to have new testimonies in my life where I'm sharing and living in the light. Not that my life is just an example of living in the light, but my words are an example of living in the light. That I can share the gospel. I was very excited when I got in more detail than what Ashley had shared, what Phil had told me that Savannah is doing. Savannah is on fire for the Lord. We're at Purdue right now. I've not just heard one verbal report. I think I've heard two or three verbal reports each different week. And she is excited about what God is doing in her life up there. And so she's supposed to be learning, but she's sharing the gospel. So it's amazing. I love it. I love hearing that. I love hearing that. I love that Juliet came to Wednesday night service and Ben, you weren't even here. So, and I was like, and that's why I went up to you earlier today and I told you this. I said, don't mess it up. Don't you mess it up. Good ones are hard to find, okay? So we have to share that gospel. We need, because this community, Byron Street, we were just cleaning out Byron Street last month, a couple weeks ago. We were cleaning there and Dan found syringes. We know what that is. That's a heroin need. We know. And the neighbors down the street even came over to me. It was Jack over here, came over to me and said, Jimmy, we found this when we had a... Anyway, he said, we found two out here outside the curb, just between the house, our one house and the neighbor's house. There were two syringes there. This was about 6 months ago. And I'm telling you, this is a dark area in this community. This is a dark area. And if we're not willing to let this light shine, I'm telling you, it's not going to shine on its own. God has placed us here to be a lighthouse. This is a hospital. I've shared it with some of you. I realize that this church is not, it is a spiritual hospital. God brings people that are spiritually sick here and also somewhat physically don't have their lives together. He has chosen this place to draw people, lost people, out of the darkness and into the light. So if that's the truth, then we need to make sure the light is shining bright. Amen. Which means our life needs to shine bright for Him. We who are leaders need to be shining brightly for Him. We need to show it in our service to Him, our attendance, in our attitude, in all of that. And we need to love the people in this community. Because nobody else is loving them. We need to love the people that's in this community. And I will tell you this, they will not all love us back. Because we just read, they love darkness rather than light. But we got to keep letting the light shine, right? We need to do that. And it needs to be not a little flicker, but it needs to be bright. Because in Philippians, it tells us that we are bright, shining. We are like bright, shining stars. And we need to live that way. We need to be walking around proud that we're a Christian. Not boasting who we are, but boasting who is in us. Amen. And that'd be Jesus, the light. You have the light. So don't put it out. You've got to let it shine. I believe God is not done with New Life Fellowship. I believe He's got more than what we anticipate. And it was true what GB said this morning. Visionaries are horrible with management. But I will tell you this. I spent a year and a half out and learning a lot. I didn't say a lot of things. Sometimes I did. Sometimes I didn't. But I sat back and I watched. And I learned. And I was doing webinars. I was doing soul searching with the Lord. I was drawing near to the Lord. I was doing some self-research. But I did a lot of some, like I said, I did some studies online, doing some things, drawing to the Lord, learning about management. I got a book, it just drives me crazy. How to do the best meeting you can. But that's my weaknesses. So I've learned some things there, and I'm going to tell you this. I will not do this on my own again. Okay? I will not do this on my own again. Because I can't. I took it as far as I can go on my own, and I cannot do it on my own again. So I'm going to be going up to some people, and I'm going to expect you to step it up. But I also know that we don't have enough people to do some of the things we need to do. So we're also going to pray, because if we draw closer to the Lord hears the prayers, amen? And it ain't just going to be that I'm praying from a distance, but I'm praying right next to Him because I've been drawn close to Him. He's been drawn close to me. And we're going to talk like Jesus did to the Father. As they are one, we are one. And I'm going to ask, Lord, would You please bring 2 to 3 couples that are established in their service with You. Not bringing a lot of junk, not bringing a lot of mess, but they're skilled in certain areas that we need. They love You, and they want to serve You, and they don't care where they serve You. They just want to be obedient. And we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for them to come, because we need that. We need the help. But they're not going to be able to do it all on their own. You're going to have to pick it up. You're going to have to help. Amen? Amen. Because in the end, this light needs to shine brighter than it ever has. It needs to shine brightly. It needs to shine bright. It is amazing to me how many people walk up and down the street of Franklin, Byron, and Guilford, and don't even know this church is even here. It is almost like it's invisible. And I think some of that could be the darkness and all that kind of stuff. But there is a shining bright light that is the Holy Spirit and is the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we need to let it out. And the only way we can do that is if we draw to the Lord. We got to get ourselves first. We got to get ourselves right first. I need a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you. I'm telling you about myself. I want a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. That's going to cost me. It's going to cost me more time in the Word. More time in prayer walking. More time in praying. More time in Scripture memorization. As we said, the task that God has put up in front of us, we are going to have to grab it. Because He's not given us any other task. This is it. You don't get to pick. He's picked it for us. He's made it easy. He made the picking. You're a hospital for broken people. Go back to Luke chapter 4 and Jesus tell you why he came. That's why he built his church. For the brokenhearted. And it's amazing that he'd chosen us. Because some of us have had broken hearts and we were far from God too. Now we need to learn and how to share that gospel with other people. So I want to challenge you to start learning how to memorize a scripture. Now, so some of you are already telling me, I can hear it. Somehow I'm hearing you. I'm not very good at memorizing. Listen, you memorize, you memorize some of the lines of your favorite movie, don't you? Of course you do. You memorize some of your favorite songs, right? I got friends in low places, whatever it may be, right? You memorize those songs. You can memorize a scripture because we're going to do some of it together, right? We're going to do some of it together because we need to learn God's word. We need not to be ashamed of the gospel. We need to know how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. We need to also know how to pray for our brothers and sisters and not be judgmental and beat them down, but we need to speak truth in love and share with them and pray for them that they'll get their life right back where it needs to be with the Lord. Amen? Right. Living together is a sin. Amen? Sex outside of marriage is a sin. Amen? Homosexuality is a sin. Beating your body down with alcohol is a sin. Putting drugs in your body and damaging your body is a sin. Someone getting beat up, someone that's committed a sin and abused someone. Being molested as a young person, somebody had sinned and committed a bad act upon a young person. Those things are all sins. And those things are happening to the people out here, and some of those things have happened to you. And the Lord says there needs to be a light shining in this darkness, and it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he continues this morning, I can look in here and I can see, and I know a lot of your pains and sufferings and your brokenness. That we did have all those people, all those things I listed, we had at least one person representing every one of those categories this morning. But I thank God that they were in the house. So many of them are battling and going back into the darkness, but they want the help of the Lord. They go back into doing it, but they say, you know what, I don't want to be here. I want to get my life straight, but I don't know how. I keep coming to the church, but then people leave the church because they've been judgmental. Sometimes it's silly things, but sometimes it is truth. Sometimes we're not very kind to lost people. And then sometimes it is a believer who fell backwards. We get judgmental. They go back and live that lifestyle. Then they come back again 2 or 3 years later. I want to get it right. I don't know how. What do they keep chasing? They keep chasing the light. And then they fight the light. They fight Jesus. They fight the gospel. They fight the truth. They know enough of it. They want it. But not enough to let go of that. And we need to teach them how to let go of it. And the only way we're going to teach it is, one, by living what we preach. Amen. Number two is being a living example in front of them. And number three, we stay committed to who we are in Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, you'll be right back over there too. Amen? Amen. God says today, I want new life to start drawing closer to me. Because I want to draw people to here. I saw something that happened on the day that TB, I talked to Carl about it. Something happened when TB gave his announcement. Nobody else saw it, but I saw it. And I was praying about this whole thing of passing the baton thing or whatever. And I was kind of wrestling with some things in my mind and in my heart. And it was that day, we had a pretty good number of some people that came in. And I think Tanya brought some people. She brought a couple of people. They were actually here today. That was good. And then I saw somebody come in, because I've been praying, Lord, I said, you've been giving us keys and buildings, and I'm just praying you're going to start giving us some people. Amen. And I saw, and I began, because I said, we just can't be about buildings and people. We need to, this whole thing needs to be a light, a light, a light, a light, sharing the gospel. And I saw someone come in, and I was like, are you who I think you are? Yes. Gave a hug, and it was good, and Saw another person I haven't seen in a while. Had me text me a couple times. Wanted to meet me at the church, but never did show up. Never did show up. But he came that Sunday. Somebody else came I haven't seen in a while on Sunday. And God revealed to me as I was, because I've been staying back in the back shaking hands. I kind of like that because this church is really good about coming in late. So I at least get to shake some hands. And God revealed to me just back over there that, Jimmy, I'm going to bring the people. Just like the ones I brought this morning. Get ready for a mess, a biggie, a bigger mess of people. You want to know something? For a moment, I was overwhelmed, but this is what happened. God, the Holy Spirit is awesome. He reminded me that there's no bigger mess than the mess that Jesus handled. I'm not going to get a bigger mess than what he has already experienced. And what he's experienced was a big mess of people. Everywhere he went, people were trying to get something from him, to touch him, to get a healing, to see if he really could do what he said he could do, to watch and see a miracle. I'm okay with a mess. As long as that mess, there's a way to fix it. And we don't have to think of a way to fix it. For the sick, the healing process has always been Jesus Christ. For the broken, for those who are broken, to get it right and to heal and to become mended again, it's always been Jesus Christ. For the lonely person, do you know how many people are all lonely in this world? Oh my goodness. To feel loved again. There's no greater love than the love of Jesus. The answer is always Jesus. And Jesus is the light. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Basically, it is this. You let your light shine before men that they may become believers too. And that they begin their relationship by drawing near to God. But before we can get concerned about what's coming, we need to be getting concerned about who we are. Now I know tonight, I need a closer relationship with Jesus Christ. That's who I am. That's what I know about myself. And this church, overall, it needs to grow closer to Jesus Christ, not just for your own personal relationship, but also that God can use that to reach and to shine the light upon others. There's a heroin addict that's going to be coming to church soon. There's another alcoholic that's coming soon. There's another homosexual or lesbian that's going to be coming in this church soon. There's going to be another person that's going to come in here, as I've just seen in the last, another person will come in here and say, me and my husband or me and my wife, we're going to get a divorce. We need to love on them, but we do need to share the truth. In love and kindness, but the truth that you are lost, but you can be found. Jesus is the answer for all things and all ones who live in the darkness. There is no other way. And I'm glad that it's simple. Jesus said himself, come unto me, all who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Are you ready for what God has in store for you first? To drawing closer to him, which means he's going to call out a couple things, whatever that is, that's between you and him. But he's only doing it because it needs to happen. For you to shine like a shining star, you got to let go of that stuff in the darkness. And you got to quit doing it the way you want and doing it the way He tells us in His Word. I want to see this place filled up with broken people. And I want to also not just fill it up with broken people, but broken people who come to Christ and will say, let me have the mic and let me tell you what Jesus did for me. I am waiting for the day that I don't preach a service, but the mic just goes around because people just want to exalt the name of Jesus and boast in how He changed their life. That's one of my prayers that I'm waiting to happen. But I believe right now, for me, I need to draw closer to Jesus. We're going to have an opportunity that if you feel and you want to take this challenge, your first challenge is the desire to memorize this scripture. Okay? It's going to be good food for your soul.